Then sings my soul by the priest. I wish I could sing like this, guys. I'm a priest, but I can't sing. I don't know why God didn't give me a voice. Father Joel, can you sing? When would you enter idols, Father Joel? How? Father Joel, just be modest, eh? Me and I should enter.
As usual.
I think you and I should enter idols this year. But anyway. So, Mike, before we got to the break, and those who've just tuned in, we are discussing and unpacking addiction, and we are joined in studio by Mike Francis, by Father Joseph, and Kelly Ann. Did I say it right? Is it Kelly?
Kelly.
Yeah, Kelly, yeah. And, Mike, I'd like us to come to the recovery part. So they pray over you, and you feel this relief, and you say, I'm going back home. Was it just as easy as that? And when you went home, did you not even have a relapse? Did you not think? Because it sounds like your conversion was very instant, like a microwave conversion, if I may call it.
Father, no. Look, the first thing I did was when I left the deliverance, I asked Charles, "What now?" Mm-hmm. And he said, "No, bro. You know, just start praying. Just start praying and going to mass." Mm-hmm. And then I left, Father. And the first thing I said to my fiance in the car was, "Everything looks brighter." Mm-hmm. And I started seeing things about God. And I said, hey, when did that get put there? When did that get put there? Mm-hmm. She said, it's always been there, but it just shows you how I was being kept in the blinkers. And I was freed. Mm-hmm. And then I went home, Father. And then a couple of days later, one of my friends phoned me and he said, how's it, bro? Mm-hmm. The rugby's on. Let's go have a beer at the place that we normally go have a beer at, the usual.
Yeah, joint.
Yeah. And then I said, and then I thought about it and I felt the conviction saying, don't, mm-hmm. don't do it. And then, but then I said no. And then I just said, yeah, okay, come, let's do it. And then what was playing in my head was, ach, the evil spirits are out of you now. Mm-hmm. You're strong enough. Go, just go have a drink. Just go have one drink.
Yeah.
Not come, let's go have drinks. Let's go take drugs. Yeah. Just go have one drink. Then I went, Father. I had a drink. And then the next thing, I was having two drinks. Then I was like, okay, I'm tipsy. Let me just carry on. And I won't do drugs. That's all right. Then I carried on. And before I knew it, Father, it's 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning. And I've been taking drugs again and everything was just back to the same.
So you went back to your normal ways.
Yes.
Was it because you were hanging around the same crowd after you got delivered?
Well, yeah, it was one of my friends that I did.
Okay. So Father Joseph, this tells us something about deliverance. You can't get, you can't come from a pigsty and get all cleaned and washed up and be sprayed with Gucci and whatever it is, then go back to the pigsty, right?
Yes.
And expect to smell clean, right? And expect to be fresh. Am I correct?
That's right. Paul says it in Corinthians. He said, make no mistake about it, bad friends corrupt even noble people. Mm-hmm. So if you look at Mike's story, it was a little hook back into it. It didn't look very, very obvious. But two things in his story are important. One is the demon said to him, the spirits are out of you, now you're strong again. Mm-hmm. And scripture tells us not to rely on our own power.
Okay.
That's where the mistake came. Mm-hmm. Secondly, he thought he started saying, well, I can drink, but no drugs. But that was just the slippery slide back into it again. Mm-hmm. And I think, Mike, in your story, when you were telling it to me, you said, once you put that to your lips, what happened to you?
Yeah, Father, another very big thing for me, what that proves to me once again, that it is demonic. Because I'm convinced that it's very close to 100% demonic. Mm-hmm. Is that the minute that drug goes into your nose, everything becomes sin.
Yeah.
Your actions, your thoughts, everything. Your thoughts, your actions, everything just becomes sin, Father. Everything you want to do becomes sin. Let's go get more alcohol. Mm-hmm. Let's go to a brothel. Let's go do this. Let's sell that to get the drugs. Let's steal that to get the drugs. Mm. You know what?
Kelly, there is a parent who's listening right now. Who has a daughter or a son who's suffering from addiction? Or maybe it is somebody who has that addiction. And addiction in this case, Kelly, we're not only talking of substance addiction, alcohol addiction. It might be sex. It might be masturbation. It might be even food itself. It's a sin because it's gluttony. Any form this addiction is taking place, they are listening right now and they're saying, what can I do either to support my son or daughter to get him help or to get him delivered? Or what can I do myself to get out of this?
So Father, like we talk to a lot of people with addiction, That has to come from the person. So the mother or the father could discuss it and make it aware to them that their life has become unmanageable if the person can't see it. But it has to come from the person. They have to give their will. Mm-hmm. You have to give it. If some people come and say, I'm here for my mother brought me, my dad brought me, it's not going
to
work.
But there are some people, Kelly, that want it today, but 3 days later they don't want it.
No, you need to want it. It's a complete transformation. You must want it. Otherwise, that spirit's going to have authority in your life. Those 3 days, those 5 days, those 3 months, 3 years. Mm-hmm. I gave a person advice, Father, yesterday. I said, we've taken them to the rehabs. We've taken them. They've been in. I said to the guy, don't stop praying for your daughter, okay? I said, but now you've got to lay the limits. She needs to stay outside the house.
Good.
Give her bank cards. Give her a car. If she wants to sell it, that's her choice. And then she, by doing that, that will be her will.
But then the parents then say, Father Brian's nephew is sleeping in the streets, and they're like, oh, they're very evil parents. How can they leave?
No, that's his choice to sleep on the streets.
Is it?
That's it. Brian, and you enable him.
Can I ask, because we've got two very, very competent people here. I've got an email from one such parent, mm-hmm. very, very good family, and the son has come home late, I think two nights ago, out of control, completely drunk, 1 o'clock in the morning, starts smashing up the house. Mm-hmm. The mother says he needs an exorcist. What would you say is the first step for that person to take?
Are they saying this when they're high, Father? Because you know what? Some of these kids, they say this when they're stoned.
It's the parent saying, what do I do? How do I get help for my child? So what would you guys say?
Kelly, let's start with Kelly, because you guys are survivors, and I call you survivors because you've survived this and you've recovered from, you are recovering from this illness. Now, we've got a situation where Mother Dearest is saying masses and offering masses with Father Brian, and this child is not yet ready.
So Father Joseph, for that reason, that kid came home and that would be a manifestation. The spirit will be coming out and attacking. So she's got to lay the rules. You're not allowed in this house. She's got to set the rules. Uh-huh. But don't stop praying for the kid. And then advise him. Go to Father Joseph's ministry on a Tuesday. Go and speak to, you know, that. Come to Alpha and Omega if they want. And then we can get, Father's always mentioned that the root cause. Drug addictions, I say, for me, my belief, and Mark, and I'll share his story. It's like the third or fourth spirit that comes in, but it's very destructive. Mm-hmm. I had a spirit of anxiety and fear that governed my life for many years. And then that spirit of addiction will hide those.
Yeah.
And we fight it, as Mark says, in the physical, and it ends up taking so long mm-hmm. to get to the bottom of it. Mm-hmm. So you've got to set the boundaries, because my mother as well, we've got a young kid, they enable the kid. Come home, he's got a place to stay, he's got a bed, he can have a shower, he can wake up, there's food in the fridge, you enable him.
So Kelly, if I hear you correctly, please correct me if I'm wrong. What you're saying is we have to have tough love.
Tough love.
So we can't be saying, oh, one day we're saying, we want them out of the house. Because I remember with my sister, my cousin or even some of my family members, they'll be thrown out of the house today. Tomorrow morning, my aunt is going to fetch them, you know. And she's like, oh, you know what? I think she learned her lesson 2 days ago. Let's open the door and life goes on. Then 3 days down the line, we're back to square one. The TV is missing. The tablet is missing. Whatever is sold in the house. And I don't want you. And she or he is taken out. So Kelly is saying to us, tough love. I hope the parents are listening. But would you look at love, that kind of love, as love? Or you think they're just being cruel and being mean?
No, Father, I agree with Kelly, because there was a one couple that we were working with, and the guy told us that the only reason he gives his girlfriend drugs is because he loves her. So that's impossible. You can't love someone by giving them drugs. So what Kelly's saying is the parents are enabling the kids. So he's enabling her by giving her love. And that's not love. I mean, the way they explain love in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that's not love. You know what I mean, Father?
So Father Joseph, there's a big word. No, I didn't go to school, Father Joseph. I went to sub B. There's this big word called enabler. Tell us, what is that? go ahead.
To concur with the brothers here, I remember one of our priests coming from Australia. He was working with the Aborigines there. Mm-hmm. He was actually became alcoholic with them.
Mm-hmm.
And he found that when the Aborigine community in Australia got money from the government, mm-hmm. the men began to spend it on drink. And so mm-hmm. there was a huge rise in alcoholism there. And what was happening was the men would go out in the morning, get drunk, come home, and then be an absolute nuisance in the house. And one of our priests who became alcoholic in that environment, he said to the women, he said, if you go out and pick up your husband when he stumbles home, he lies in the street in his vomit, and you bring him into the home, into a nice clean bed, you pay the electricity, play.
Wash him up.
20 years down the line, you will be still doing it.
Oh, no.
And that's what enabling is all about. We don't enable them to keep taking the drugs. And often you have where it is said that in the story of the parable son, when he felt the pinch, it was then that he, it says in Scripture, Jesus tells us that he came to his senses. We're praying for that moment to come to senses.
So, Father Joseph, in this case, we've got this boy who's at home, and so who's not working, or who's probably working, or maybe this, usually they're not. They're just stealing from us in the house, stealing our computers, our laptops, and all those kind of things. What should I do as a parent? Should I say, you know what? That's it. Get out. Kelly?
Father, the situation...
Because he doesn't want to go for treatment. We've tried treatment, and it's been going on and on and on, and we're back to where we were 6 years ago, 8 years ago. And we've tried...
I give one principle? If the parents and people like Kelly and Mike and other priests are doing more spade work than the person themselves, then it's a wrong equation. They, as Kelly said earlier, they must want it more than you or the parents. Then you'll see them turning the corner.
Totally correct, Father. I agree with that.
But then, should I not give food to my son? Should I not give?
So Father, that's, you know, as you said, they come into the house and they're stealing, they're taking stuff. So the parents are enabling them. So what we'd also advise, like, we'd tell the parents to come for prayer. We'll tell the parents to come for prayer, and then we try and build them spiritually, because so you've got to fight it in the spirit.
Okay.
And then get that, so you remove that spirit out of that boy, but you've got to kick them out, and then the parents will start to get stronger spiritually. They get their faith, and then it gets a lot better. Like another thing, Father Joseph always mentioned it, if the husband or the father takes spiritual control over that person and prays over them, that's like 10 out of 10. Healing will come quickly.
All right. It's 10 minutes after the hour 5. It's Radio Veritas 576 AM. We are unpacking addictions, any form of addiction. I'm going to open the lines right now. We're opening them for only 10 minutes. And so please get to the point and please let us ask questions so that we make space and room for other people. The number to dial is 011-452-7115. I'll repeat that number again, 011-452-7115. Alternatively, SMS us on 41809. We're taking your comments, reactions, weigh in. Maybe you are recovering, or maybe you've got a son or you've got a daughter. Share with us your experience of addiction and your journey towards recovery. We're taking your calls on 011-452-7115. And that was Then Sings My Soul by the priests. And we're back, and we're trying to understand addictions. We're trying to understand how we can live with them. We're going to take a break. It is the good news for a change, Father Joseph. I just want to come back to this whole idea of deliverance. Once things happen, do I still need to keep trying at it, or?
Yes. People shouldn't see deliverance as, you know, something that is the magic bullet for everything. It has its place, and that will target the spirits behind the person. But on the next show, the brothers will show how you hold on to your healing, which is very, very important. There's no point in getting delivered, as you said earlier, Father Brian, only to walk back into the muck again in, you know, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 22. You wash the pig, and the pig goes right back into its thing again. And, of course, that's That's the important thing. It's more important to maintain your healing as much as getting delivered from it. So coming to deliverance then, that will actually bind and take care of the spirits behind it. But it's also, if you know, Mike's story was saying that he, you know, if you go to the rehab in Medjugorje, for example, Chinakilo, the first question they ask you is, why did you take drugs in the first place? What was the thing that made you take it? Because that which made you take it in the first place is probably that which is going to make you take it in the future. What is it inadequate in your own psychological makeup, in your own human interaction with people, that makes you lean on something? It's also pointed out by some spiritual writers that addicted people don't like pain. They run from pain. And, you know, the moment they feel oppression, they want, you know, I need to reach for, no, I'm not going to reach for alcohol, but let me take a cigarette. That'll calm me down. So what's happening there is they're simply transferring the weight from one foot to another and convincing themselves that, you know, it's not so bad. But we're still leaning on something other than God. And that doesn't really work in the long run.
Wow. Addicted people don't like pain. Kelly, is that true?
Yeah, for that, yeah, I agree with Father Joseph there. Definitely.
We need to wrap up this. And as we wrap up this, our message to the parents. Actually, Father, I would like you to speak to the priests, to the pastors, and
yeah,
to the deacons.
Yeah.
Because I often think, even sometimes as priests, sometimes we are ill-equipped with dealing with some of these things. And either my situation would be rehab.
Yeah.
Or, you know, we often overlook that spiritual dimension to it. And I would like you to address us as priests.
As priests. If
and deacons.
And deacons listening. You know, I have to be honest, when addicted people come for ministry, we kind of have at the back of our mind, oh my God, this is one hell of a climb. There ain't much I can do about it. And a lot of times we priests say, we'll refer you to professionals. Mm-hmm. But the message coming through very, very clearly from Mike today and from Kelly is, that's true, they have their part to play, but there's a huge spiritual dimension behind the addiction, mm-hmm. which we, as priests, have the competence to deal with. Mm-hmm. And actually, during off-air, Mike was saying he's gone to rehabs. They mentioned Jesus, but he wasn't really the spotlight of it. It was a part of a wider package. But at the end of the day, I think the message coming through is, it's only Jesus that is going to heal you and keep you healed and keep you from your addiction of choice.
Mike?
Yeah, no, what Father Joseph just said, Father, it's, you can't recover without Jesus Christ. You can't. It's in my opinion, it's not possible. I tried it, Father. And everything, all the promises that he made in the Bible, everything he says, the love, the peace, the joy, the happiness, that he'll stay with you, that he won't leave you, he's kept it. Every single one, even the ones I forget about, the ones we forget about, he keeps. Like, he's got that mercy. It's burning him, he says to St. Faustina in her diary. It's burning him to let out and to give it to people, but they don't want to accept it. In Revelation 3, chapter 3, verse 20, he says, I'm waiting at your door, I'm knocking. If you open, I'll come in and I'll dine with you. And he will come in, and he will, Father, he forgives. Like, it's amazing, it's beyond my... As you can see, I'm battling to get words now because there's not sufficient human language for his mercy.
So what's next?
What?
For you.
Now, Father.
For you, yeah.
What's next for me? No, just carry on, Father, carrying on. Just helping people that we're in the same...
What are you doing with yourself now?
I'm working with Alpha and Omega, with Charles, Father, helping people that are in the same predicament as me, as I was, because I know how they feel, Father. And I'm trying to take them to Jesus.
Wow.
because I know that he can heal them.
Very passionate.
I know, Father. Yeah. I promise you, I want to say so many things now, but I can't because
you'll be back.
No,
you'll be back, as Father Joseph said.
There's no language.
As long as I'm still alive, you guys will be back. You'll be back. You'll be back. You have a home where I have a home, eh?
Thank you.
So you'll be back. Yes. And thank you very much, Mike, for sharing your story with us. Your story is touching someone right now as we speak. We've got a call on the line. You're live on Radio Veritas. Good afternoon.
Hello.
Yeah, hello.
Hi.
How are you?
Yes, I came late on the program.
Yeah.
I have a problem, but it's, I don't think it's addiction as such. But I've got a daughter who cannot finish anything. Her room is constantly cluttered. She can't seem to keep it tidy. You ask her to do the very smallest thing, wash dishes, and it'll take her 2 days, you know, to wash like 5 dishes or something.
How old is she?
She's 25. And her younger sister has ended up saying, well, why don't we just, you know, take her out of the house? Maybe then she'll learn responsibility.
All right.
And I was listening to what you're saying about tough love, but at the same time, it's a girl. She threw her out of the house without finances, you know.
So you think tough love is for boys, yeah?
Pardon?
Do you think tough love is just for boys?
No, for girls as well. It's just that girls can get into.
All right. All right. Listen over the radio, and Father Joseph and Kelly are going to respond to you now, ne?
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Have a good afternoon.
With Christ's healing, it's not one size fits all.
Mm.
You would want to see, and thank you for the question, you'd want to see two things. For example, I have to confess, my room is in a mess, but I can live with it, but people looking on can't.
Mm.
So the problem may be affecting you as a person, but not really having an effect on that. Is it something that is so bad that it is a blockage in other areas of our life, or is it just untidiness? You know, I'm not trivializing the question.
All right, Kelly, you can respond to that. I just want to ask all of you a question, but after Kelly, go ahead.
So listen, ma'am, as Father said, we'll have to sit down and discuss it with you and her. Where's the father figure in her life? Mm-hmm. Where's she with her faith? Is she practicing, you know what I mean? Has she got that personal relationship with Christ? And then we can get an idea where she is from that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm also going to ask this. Some of these things, guess what? We come from families, some of us, ne? Especially, and I'm going to throw this card, in black families where they are sometimes, you're told, the grandmother was addicted to alcohol. So, you know what, we understand. And the uncle in the other family also was an alcoholic. So it's a family case. Good afternoon, you live on Radio Veritas.
Can I just explain?
Yeah.
She prays a lot, my daughter, and she's in the choir now.
Yeah.
And the problem, the clutter is so bad that all the dishes of the kitchen end up in her room. And she cannot complete her degrees. She started to... first degree, she cannot complete them because at night she cannot sleep. Mm. She is busy doing other things. She's addicted to movies and
social networks, internet.
And then she goes to the exam room and she gets panic attack. And so she's been studying since.
Okay. Anonymous, we are not going to do a consult on air for you. And we'll try and link you up. Send me an email at bmhlanga@radioveritas.co.za and we'll make sure that it gets to the right people, okay?
Okay, what's the beginning?
The email is B for ball and mhlanga,
yeah.
M-H-L-A-N-G-A. So it's bmhlanga.
Yes.
At radioveritas.co.za. Just email me and I'll definitely make sure that we make the necessary connections for you, okay? And then you can get a proper consult, and you and your daughter can be assisted, and it would also be not fair of us to do this on air for you, ne?
Okay. Okay. So I said that you had these questions and I realized I hadn't.
Yeah, like Father said, there is no one size fits all. And the more you answer this, he's going to now ask more questions and we'll just end up having a consult on air.
Definitely.
Yeah. Okay. So I'll repeat, just email me. We're going to assist you. Email me at bmhlanga, which is one word, bmhlanga, at radioveritas.co.za. And I'll make sure and I'll follow up that we get it to the right people, okay?
I'll do that.
Thank you very much. Have a good afternoon.
Thanks.
So Kelly and Father, what I was saying before we took this call was sometimes things in our families, we've got grandmothers who've been alcoholics. We've got aunties who were jumping from one bed to the next. And so when these things show up now, in 2018, it's like, you know what? It's a generational curse. It's a generational thing in that, you know, it always either skips a generation. Does it make sense spiritually?
Yes. It points to the need for the family also to get healed.
Indeed.
That's basically the bottom line. Just as Mike today is passionate about his healing now and maintaining his healing, and that is a real sign of a true conversion when you say, I want to now help other people with the same help with which I myself have been helped. Mm. That's a real sign of a genuine healing by Christ. Mm. In the same way, we want our families healed.
Amen.
You know, we don't make excuses for a drunken grandfather or grandmother. Mm-hmm. We ask, Lord, we want all our members healed in our family.
Wow. Now, Kelly? Generational curses, are they real? So, are they fiction, fact?
No, I said, listen, the Bible instructs us that it can transfer from four generations down, that spiritual transfer. So my father, bless his heart, he suffered, although he hasn't admitted it, and it comes in through that. So we see it often, Father. So it will happen in every time. There will be a link through someone from lineage of the family, they will see it.
We're not going to close the show with a song today. I'm going to ask Father Joseph to pray with us and for us. And I'd like you to open your heart wherever you are, whatever you're doing, just be still and reach out to this prayer that we are going to say with Father Joseph. Last week, Dr. Charles and myself forgot to do the prayer because we were engulfed in the Spirit. Today, we are praying for you and with you.
Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for being our healer. You are the wounded healer. You allowed yourself to be struck.
Amen.
In every part of your body, spirit, soul, and body. And as Saint Athanasius said, he said we can gain so many merits from you becoming incarnate in the flesh. It would be impossible to count the merits we can call on. It would be like counting the waves in the ocean. We thank you for all of those merits. Lord, please bless and heal all the people who are desperate at the moment, who are tormented by spirits of addiction, who are tormented by alcoholism, drug taking, in a corner, don't know how to get out of it, don't know where to turn, full of self-pity, full of self-condemnation, believing the devil has condemned them and that Jesus will not accept them. Lord, just touch each person now and heal them. Heal them, Lord, deeply. Let them be convicted by your love, by your mercy, by your healing. Send your healing over to each one now. Give them peace in their heart. And I just ask you, dear listener, just to open your heart, as Mike said, Revelation 3:20, open your heart, let Jesus come in and let him fill you with his healing. And I give you now, and Father Brian also gives you, the blessing of Aaron in Numbers chapter 6. May the Lord bless each one of you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine on you and be gracious unto you. May he uncover his face to you. May he grant you his peace.
Amen.
And we bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
That's it, folks. It takes us to exactly 5:30 and same time, same place on Friday. And do not touch that dial.